Good morning, everyone that came out on this rainy morning. Let us get started. I give everyone time to get seated and coffeeed up.
That's all right. I was here early and I got my coffee. So I got here early and got mine. I understand.
All right, guys, let us get started. It is 9:33. It's truly a blessing to be here this morning. I pray that you all had a blessed week on last week and enjoyed yourselves. Shall we start in prayer? Elder Doug, could you lead us in prayer this morning?
Thank you. Lord, thank you for this time that you have granted to us, and we ask you, Lord, that you will open up our hearts and mind that we might receive your word as it being taught to us. And we ask your blessing over the speaker this morning. Continue to touch her life and strengthen her, Lord, and help us to walk in your way each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. On last week, we opened up. It was our opening. And we talked about entering the closet. And you guys had assignment last week. We wanted you guys to, the first assignment, let's go to the second one, was bring your favorite book on prayer and take inventory of how many books you have on prayer. Did anyone do that last week? Okay, we'll start over here, Miss Leslie. Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Miss Leslie. So her favorite one is Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home by Richard Foster. And what do you like about this?
Just that it's got different types and of prayers in here, and just kind of teaches you what prayer is and how to approach prayer.
Okay. How to approach prayer. Okay. And is there any particular prayer that you prefer to use on a daily basis out of that book, or?
No, I don't.
All right. Okay, someone else. Ms. Lynn said her favorite prayer book is the Bible, which, of course, is first and foremost in our prayer life. Anyone else? Understand this. So you're talking about the Lord's, the disciples' prayer. Okay. Okay. And which is very, very important. I find myself quoting it throughout the day, especially the one, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Especially that one. Elder, do you have any particular prayer book or? I understand. I definitely understand that. And so you pray periodically throughout the day. Yes. Anyone else before we move forward? Yes, sir. Yes. And what was that? The most? Yes. Yes. It's recommended by a lot of authors and a lot of pastors. My most for his highest. And I've heard that. Do you know when that went into syndication? Okay.
she did all the writing of his teachings that he did and formed that book.
Okay. Okay, well, I know that the author, my favorite book, I'll mention later, she references him a lot in this prayer book. Is there anyone else that has a favorite prayer book, or how many books do you have at home? Oswald Chambers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I like those, the ones that where they list the areas you have needs in, and it just give you the scripture to how to pray pertaining to that situation. Well, my favorite book, first of all, I think I have 15. I had over 30, and I did a purge in my home, and I literally took a container of that, one of those tubs, and I just filled that tub with all those books. I had books under my bed in the closet in my children's room, and I took all those books, and I took them over here to where the Chrysler place used to be at. Hospice, yes. I took it, and they looked at me, and some of the books had never been read, but that's what I was led to do. So now I started my library over, and I have 15. I have 15 so far, and one of my favorites, this was given to me. This, first of all, this one used to be my favorite, and it still is. It's by Beth Moore, Praying God's Word, and I really like it because it's scripture. It's scripture-based, and you can go in, and like you said, it's pertaining to that subject matter that you're dealing with, and so I really like it, and I purchased this book in September 2003, and I used it throughout the course of time. Well, last year, when I went to Inner Healing, Naomi gave me a book, and the book was printed. You can't even order it now, and so I made copies of it, and it's called The Word Works, and it was written by a missionary that was in Africa, and she had to deal with a lot of different things. And so let me just show you. It's one of my favorites, and it's nothing but scripture, literally nothing but scripture. And I go in, and it's pertaining to that subject matter that I'm praying in regards to. And so I find it, and it's something that Lynn had said before we opened up, that a lot of times we pray it, you know, we think it's going to shift and change the matter, but it's actually shifting and changing us and giving us peace in that matter. And so that's what I love about praying the scripture. And that was one of the things that the Holy Spirit started impressing upon my heart, like I said last week, in regards to us praying nothing but the word. Nothing but the word. And as he started impressing, dealing with me even this week, he said, we continue to pray around the matter, pray about the matter, but remind the matter of what the word of God says in regards to it, in regards to what's going on. And I used the example as my ankle hurting, and I spoke to my ankle, and I said, hear ye the word of the Lord. By his stripes, ye are healed. So you have to line up with what the word of God is saying. And he said in his word, it will not return unto us void. It will not return unto him void. And if we're representation of him, then it will not return unto us void. And so speaking the word of God to the matter, and sometimes we have made prayer so complicated that people don't even want to pray. You know, when you look at it, people, when you invite for prayer, because it's made complicated, and it's basically declaring the word over the Lord in regards to the situation. And so some people feel uncomfortable in prayer because they feel like you have to use all these verbs and these nouns. So the purpose of this class is in regards to entering the closet. And one more thing, the second assignment was write down your experience during prayer. Did anyone have any experiences doing prayer last week? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he immediately dropped into my spirit. It was like a seat on the school board, a seat on the county government, a seat on the federal government. It's a place of authority and positioning because of Christ. We have that. That's what he showed me last week.
Wow. That's great. That is great. Because it said we're seated in Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places. And so he gave us a visual analogy of it is us sitting on a school board or at a meeting, and we have the authority to make decisions and call forth judgments. That's deep. I never looked at it that way. Anyone else? If not, we'll move forward. Last week we referenced the scripture, Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's our anchor scripture, and we're going to review that a little this morning before we move to the first thing that takes place. One of the things we talked about was Kavanah, which means to pray with intent and mindfulness. It means to pray with purpose and with sincere feelings, where your heart and your mind are engaged in the act of coming before the King of Kings, the Lord of all creation. That was a Hebrew word that was given to me. And it talks about being intentional, being in purpose when you go in that prayer closet. When you go in that closet with one purpose. And a lot of times what we'll find is there are distractions. There's a lot of distractions. A telephone rings. Someone needs your attention. And so what he's saying is he needs us to be intentional when we go in. And if you look at Matthew 6:6, it tells us when thou enter the closet. And we talked about the meaning of closet. And it's the Greek word 5009, a dispenser or distributor, a chamber on the ground floor of an interior or an oriental house, generally used for storage or privacy, a spot for retirement. And it also says a secret chamber, or a closet, or storehouse. And that's from the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. And what we find is, remember we said when we go into that prayer closet, we're walking in there and shutting the door, and we're going to get what we need. We're going to get what we need. We walk in that closet with assurance. That's what closet means, dispenser, distributor. We going in there with one intent. Think about it when you go to work, those as teachers, those that work in medical, those that work in different industries, when those that on the praise team, you came up here this morning, you had one intent, and that was to get on one accord and to sing worship unto the Lord. Well, that's the way it is when we go in our closet. We go with one purpose, one aim, nothing else, that one purpose. And so this is the thing that, and after we discussed Kavanah, and it talks about, and when thou hast shut the door. I had this revelation as I was studying, when you shut the door. We are in control. We have the power and authority to shut down everything that distracts us. He said, when you shut the door, that gives you authority. That gives us authority. That gives us power to walk in and say, when a door is shut, that means everything outside that door stops and ceases for your world. So he's saying, shut the door. Go in. I'm giving the power and I'm giving the authority to you to go in, shut the door, and take authority over that situation. When you walk into that closet, we're coming in there to get whatever you're needing. He said, shut the door. And the door also is shut because we don't want any distractions. No distractions. It's like I'm on assignment, God, and I come in here to show up. I come in here to show up to deal what I need to deal with. And it's all right if you tell your family, do not disturb me. It's all right. I think I told you guys last week where I was in prayer one morning, and I had a relative that came, and she knocked on the door, and she heard the dog barking. And I sit right there in the den because I was in the closet. And what I needed was more important in that closet than what she had to give me. And it will get to that point where we have to make decisions, final decisions, that this is the time that I have allotted for God, the closet. So what he's saying is shut the door. He gives us the authority to go in. That gives us authority. Then he says, pray to thy Father which is in secret. It's amazing. He's the God of the universe, but he can sit down and have a meeting with us in secret. Have your boss ever called you into your office? called him into, call you into his office and say, shut the door. That's the way it is with God. He said, Billy, come on in and shut the door. We need to talk. So we pray unto our Father in secret. Everything is in private. Everything is in private. When I first wrote this lesson in December, I titled it Incognito. And when, as I was sitting there thinking about it, it made me think about Superman, Kent Clark. And I got so tickled because Kent Clark was an ordinary man. And he walked around and he worked for the Daily News. But whenever a problem arose, he would find him a closet. Telephone booth, okay. But he found him a closet. And he went in that closet. I want you to think about how he changed. Now, when he went in the closet, he had on a suit. He had on glasses. Tie. Hair matted down. He went in that closet. He went in that telephone booth to deal with the emergency at hand, the matter at hand. He came out in a cape. He came out in a bodysuit. He came out with focused vision. Remember, he went in with glasses. But when he came out, he could see through materials. His vision was changed. His hearing was changed. His strength was superior. Not only he was no longer earthbound, but he could fly into the heavenlies. And all this took place in secret. God has a sense of humor. All this took place in secret. So what is God telling us? Go in the closet. If you have a telephone booth, go in your telephone booth. And close the door. Go in and close the door. See, down here, we're bound by these bodies. But when we go in our prayer closet, we can still be here. And our prayers transform everything. And it sets everything in order. Because we went to our Father in secret. In secret, we didn't have to go shout it on the rooftops. We didn't have to go share it in gossip columns or gossip groups. And he said he reward us openly. What is he rewarding us with? Answered prayers. Prayers not even spoken. I love God because he said he will give you the desires of your heart. Think about that. If we delight ourselves in him. And when we go in prayer, he's seeing that we're delighting ourselves in him. So there's things when we go in our closet that we don't even speak. But because we're there. And we're delighting in ourselves in things that he has required of us. He answers. He answers. It's a scripture that even says before we even think it, before we even speak it, he has already answered. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So whenever, and I remember when John and I had COVID in 2021, that took me to a place of prayer that I had never been before. Because during that time, I could not do this, but we had, it's not almost like I was forced into prayer. Mm-hmm.
I
God showed up for us. But that particular incident took me to a place of really honoring and respecting prayer and God more than it ever has in my life. And but I don't want another something to happen to take me there.
That
I
part
want
right
to keep
there.
Practicing that, you know, to have that relationship. And when you talk about Superman, that's the same thing that happens to us. When we go into the presence of God, we come out strengthened. We come out changed. We come out seeing differently in that situation before we went in.
That's right.
We come out with that peace.
That's
but
true.
But Superman tapped into his power, and that's what we're going to have to start doing.
Yeah.
It's tapping into our power.
Yeah.
And
I like that.
I think we come out fortified to be a blessing to somebody else.
Exactly.
We don't have any power to bless if we haven't received his presence.
Yes.
And everything you hear about that Asbury revival was the hunger.
Yes.
When you go in to be with the Father, you should go in with a hunger for more of him. And that leads you into whatever he wants you to do.
Yes. Yeah. That is true. Anyone else?
Go ahead. Young Christian. Real young. And I asked the Lord, well, you know, because I was really into the word, it was always about the word with everybody and all that. So I said, well, how come I have to ask if you already know what I need before I ask it? And then the answer came, and it's in the word, so that your Father may be glorified. Because we tend to, like, take it upon ourselves, like, look what I did, or look what happened, or, you know, but just so God can be glorified, like you said, it's always for somebody else, always.
Always, always. Always. Yeah. Anyone else? And so as we move forward, and like she said, I need to expound on that, how sometimes God will allow situations to happen where we're pressed and pushed into that place where we have to. And I must confess, I'm standing here because I was pushed and pressed into that place. And I gave an example, a testimony last week how I had prayed so much. I had prayed warfare prayer so much that I could not shed it off. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm used to it. I had prayed warfare prayer so much I could not shed it off. And that's when, at the middle of last year, the Holy Spirit started dealing with me in regards to praying the scripture. I had been praying the scripture, but I was not utilizing it at this level. And I was taking a lot of the warfare on myself. I was tired. I was frustrated because I was doing the work. I was not allowing God to do the work through his word. It was about Sonia's objective, not God's. I thank God for that lesson I learned. My prayer life became much simpler. Much, much simpler. I was not exhausted. I would walk in sometime and some people say, God, you look so tired. And I'm thinking, honey, only if you knew. But now I know. Now I know. So I just want to make someone else load lighter. Yes, Mike.
And it's you. You know, so if we go in there just laying ourselves down, giving it to him, then we meet his need.
Yeah.
You know, and then what happens is everything, because he does know what you need. What he wants you to understand, that he's all you need.
Yes.
So when you go in there, you're going to receive all those things. So, and that's expecting, but the thing is that we go past that expectations part. There's no expectation until we know that he fulfills all those expectations. So when we enter into that presence, he's there for us to fulfill those things. But our mindset going in isn't for the needs of the things. It's for him. And that's what just talking about, the hunger. And I'm telling you, it just changes everything when you approach it with that mindset.
Yes.
Right. Jesus said, I don't need to do this right here. I do this for these people. I'm only acknowledging you publicly.
Yes.
So that they know that you are here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just funny how we move in those things. And Mm-hmm. We're still in a broken world.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are still going to happen. And so when that brokenness hits our home or hits us personally, it's not that, you know, he's trying to teach us a lesson so that we'll pray. It's
yeah.
In the broken world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to do. So with David, he had to pray and the prophet come to him, why lose my child? It's because I've seen him. See, God took that wrath upon Jesus Christ. Now,
mm-hmm.
It's not that we're going to do something or something happens against us to make us pray anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That wrath and all that stuff here, but we're still in this broken world.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be so familiar with the Lord to know that, hey, he's our comforter.
Yes.
He's our witness. Everything mm-hmm. is there. And that's where that's going to enter us into when we get in there and get so familiar with him and the intimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're not, this is a disclaimer, we're not saying that trials or tribulations have to hit your life in order to force you into prayer. But sometimes that's the only way some people will pray more. It's not that they're not praying. But like he said, when you go into the closet, and Sister Cindy said, you experience him at another level. That intimacy where you go in, it's the normal prayers. There's an intimacy there, and he will meet us there, and it'll shift us and change us internally. It'll change our hearts. Then he's able to apply Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27, where he would take out that heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh that we will do his will. And we'll follow his statutes. So this is what takes place. These are one of the things. So we're not saying that you have to go in. You're going to go in because of let my brain catch up with my mouth. Adversity. So, yeah, this is our disclaimer. We're not saying that you have to have trials in your life because just getting up every day walking is sometimes difficult. You're going to have them. But like in another thing that Mike is saying that, why wait till the trials come? Why wait till the trials come? Go ahead and practice getting in his presence. Practice it now. And when the trials come, it will be much easier because that relationship will be there. Yes, Miss Lynn, and then we're going to move on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, that's like the ultimate example.
Yes. Well, this is sometimes not the entire heart is hard. It's sections of our heart that's hardened. It's sections. So he still have to do that great work in us to get to that section or that wall we have in our soul that's up. So he'll take these trials and tribulations and he will go in and allow his spirit, his Holy Spirit and gentleness to uproot that bitterness that have formed that wall or crystallize that portion of our hearts. Let's go ahead and move forward because we have to do the first thing. But just a recap of Matthew 6:6, the key point is Jesus expected us to pray. He led by example, and he would often go off by himself and take the Father. He even prayed up until the point of death. Second, we must enter a secret place, and I'll get you guys the notes at the end. We must enter a secret place. Third, we must close the door behind us. Closing the door signifies shutting out the cares of this world, distractions, and privacy. Fourth, we must pray to the Father, only him. And five, the prayers must be in secret. Six, the results God sees in secret and he reward us openly. And seven, he will reward us openly. Though that's the key thing. And these are notes that I had written down and I make sure everyone get a handout next week. However, we talked about it was three things that take place. And the first thing that take place in prayer is we hear God's voice. How many of you guys have been in prayer? I know Sister Naomi said she had been in prayer and you heard God's voice and he gave us instructions. That's the first thing that takes place. A lot of times we go into prayer and I've been guilty of it and I just start a conversation. I do. I literally just start a conversation. I hadn't calmed myself. I'm just going in. Father, I'm here this morning. Thank you for da 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 like a jackhammer. And I'm going in. And I'm throwing it at him. I have learned over time to go into my prayer closet and do this. Just sit there. And sometimes I have instrumental praise and worship music playing. I just sit there. Because there's things before I got to that prayer closet. If it's not first thing in the morning, even sometime at night you have dreams that have to break off of me. Or some thoughts that had ran through my mind. Or a care or worry of the world that had rested upon me. So I have to release all of this. And I sit there. And I recommend those that are in here, if you hadn't attended Hearing the Voice of God that's taught by Sister Cinda and Brother Smith, I highly recommend this class. But just sitting there, because I've heard everyone else's voice. Like Sister Faye said, I've called someone else and we've prayed and they prayed what the Lord showed them. And I talked to someone else and I had a conversation and their thoughts and their words are still in my mind. And sometime I'll declare in that atmosphere the voice of God and not of man. The voice of God and not of man. I know it's in the scripture. But as I sit there and I get calm, I hear his voice. I hear his voice. And majority of the time he'll give me a scripture. So the first thing we do is when we go into that closet and shut the door is hear his voice. Because sometime when I go in there, I don't know what to pray. I have so many fires. I have so many things going on. But I remember in his word, Jesus said, his spirit, the Holy Spirit, will lead, guide, and direct me into all truth. And not only that, I think it's in Romans 8 where he said, we know not what to pray for. So the Spirit of God make intercession for the saints. So what does that mean? It's the Spirit of God that search out the hearts of man. And he know what's in there. And then he know what's the Lord know what's coming. So the Holy Spirit will lead me in what to pray. I save so much time. Because there's things that I think I should be praying about in regards, and God is like, I got that. Why are you praying about this? You need to pray about this. I saved so much time and energy and stopped worrying in so many weights. Because I'm trying to pray about something God has already taken care of. Yes. Knowing the word of God. Yes. Thank you. Great point. Did everyone hear what she was saying? That the word of God must be in there. That's what the Holy Spirit draws off of. The word of God inside of us. So we hear God's voice. And it is saying, the first scripture, the scripture I have here is John 10 verses 4 and 5. John 10, verses 4 and 5. And I like what the Message version says. I have both versions written down. I'll read the King James version first. And it says, just John 10, verses 4 and 5. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I love it. I love it. And I really love what the Message version says. And it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. And this is how we learn the voice of God. By sitting and spending time with him quietly. It's something about reading the word of God and it gets here and somehow it makes a connection with your ear. I hadn't figured that out yet. I know that the word is read and we put it here, but it's here. Remember Ed talked about that 6 inches? But yet when it's here, through the spirit, thank you, Lord, through the aid of the Holy Spirit, it makes a connection with your natural ear. And you can hear his voice. Because it said, no other will it follow. We're not going to follow the voice of a stranger when we have the word of God inside of us. We'll question that voice. And I like what Cindy said, how about she was going to make a decision and the Holy Spirit quickened her on the inside. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. Some say, I got a gut feeling. No, unless you had bad food, it's the Holy Spirit. But that fit right there, it rises up and it resonates in your ear. But yet, this is the thing I have experienced. You can feel it in your soul. You can literally feel it. And the word of God, it'll quicken us. So when we go in the closet, we hear his voice. That's the first thing that takes place. We hear his voice. And if we're not familiar with his voice, we become very familiar with it because we spent time with him. I guarantee you, Kelly can go outside and start talking and yelling. Mike Duncan can be standing in here. But if a door opened and he can hear that voice, he can tell you, that's my wife, Kelly. Just like you know your spouse's voice or your children's voice. And I thought it was the most amazing things I would hear people say when I had children. Oh, you'll know their voice. And I was like, that's impossible. But one day I was in the grocery store and one of my children started crying. It was 2 hours over. I knew that was my child. Without ever looking around to see if that child was with me. And when he heard my voice, he got quiet. He recognized his mother's voice. And that's the way it is with us and God. We recognize his voice. We can identify his voice. The first way we identify his voice is through his word. We read his word. We study his word. We allow his word to become a part of us. I know you guys have had some situations where you went to make a decision like Cindy, and you heard the voice of the Lord say, stop. Don't do that. Well, I like to confess I kept going and I was a train wreck. Yeah. Yeah. So learning to hear his voice, hearing his voice in the closet is very important. That's the first thing we do is hear his voice. That's the first thing in the prayer in the closet. We learn to hear his voice. We become familiar with his voice. We're able to identify his voice. That's the first thing. Any comments? That's true. He's the coach of peace. He's the coach of peace. He'll give us peace in the things that we need to do. Though we're nervous, we'll still have peace in regards to it. That's the key thing. Hearing his voice and just listening. A church I attended, and I won't go into great detail, but I used to love when the music stopped playing and people stopped singing and it just got quiet. It got quiet. You could hear his voice. It got quiet. But it was always someone in there that would start with a song or start talking. Guess what I discovered on my journey? Sometimes we're scared to hear God's voice because of what he's going to say. What he's going to require of us. So if I can shut it down, I will not hear his voice. If I can play loud music, if I can talk, if I can call someone and say pray, I will not hear his voice. Because if we be honest with ourselves, because we're in a world that's on 100 and there's noise constantly going in Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and everybody else's cousin and everything else that's going on, we can't hear his voice. So we become fearful of quietness. We become very fearful of quietness. Try it sometime. Try it. Sometime I get in my car, my kids say, well, Mama, you don't have the radio on. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. And I listen to 106.9 and 98.1 and his radio and all that. But sometime I just need quietness.
Mm-hmm. In the quiet, I mean, in all the busyness and all the stuff, you choose to shut it down. Last week, we had a question that was asked. And he said, Mama, how do I get my son said, Mama, how do I get my brain to stop moving? I said, you shut it down. You get in a quiet place, and you tell your brain to be quiet. That's right. And you sit there until it gets quiet. God don't come in to do that. You do that.
It's a choice.
That doesn't just automatically happen. We have to choose that. In your day, you got to choose a certain amount of time. I'm going to shut this down, and it's going to be me and God. Whether he speaks to me or not, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to read, I'm going to pray for my 30, my 40 minutes, or whatever I need to do. And then, during the day, it seems like God will come back and say, so-and-so, I was talking to you. But we have to train our ear to hear.
That's right. Yes, you did.
The word of God, y'all, the word of God is always and will forever be our source as a believer.
Yes.
Because when we read the word, that's how God speaks to us.
Yes.
He does.
Yes. The voice.
Yes.
The voice. That is good. And like you said, it goes back to, do you have something? Oh, I thought you were going to say something. It goes back to what she said. It's a choice. And so finishing on this right here. With that being said, it's a choice. And so we can see that it's a choice. He said, you close the door. You close the door. We have to make that decision whether or not we want to sit in that closet. We have to make that decision whether or not we want to be in his presence. It's a choice. He's a God of a free will. But he has so much to share with us. He has so much. My confession is I made a decision to go in November and shut the door. And I started my manuscript and entered in the closet. It's more to it. When you enter that closet, when we enter that closet, we'll hear his voice. And the first thing, this is the final say, the first thing God will start doing is dealing with us. About us. So when we go in and we close the door, don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed, because you might go in regards to the situation and we're going to declare the word of God over that situation, but then he's going to deal with us about us and our perspectives will change. There be anything else? If not, Brother Mike, could you come and close us out in prayer? Yeah. Yeah, you can come sit right there. How you doing?
How are you? Praise God.
Can you hear Kelly Boy?
Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your life. We thank you for that voice, Lord God, your truth, your word that you speak to us, Lord, and you're always continually releasing your words. You don't hide your words. You speak, Lord, and we must train our ears to hear your voice. I know there's times, Lord, that we say that I can't hear you. You got to speak louder. You got to speak my language. But, Lord God, you told me that no, I'm going to speak to you the way I speak to you, and you train your ears to hear my voice. Lord, it's our discipline that we have to get in, our choice that we have to walk in and choose to hear your voice, to hear your ways, and to walk those things out, Lord, so that you can show yourself faithful and that your glory will live inside of us and expound throughout this world. We thank you for this word. We thank you for Sister Sonia, Lord God, and all the things that you're doing in her life, Lord, to grow her to be that vessel that you can expound your kingdom in. We praise you for this day and everyone here, Lord. Let your rain fall in Jesus' name. Amen.